David rose up early in the morning, and he left the sheep with the keeper, and he took and he went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and he ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and he spake according to the same words. See, over in verse 10, he had defied the armies of Israel, and he had begged for any man, any of them, to come out and fight him, and the one that would win, the others would bow down and become their servants. So now David's hearing this for himself. 24, and all of the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. The men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. In other words, he wasn't going to have to pay any taxes. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? The people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Then Eliab, this eldest brother, heard when he was spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why comest down here? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and he spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go out and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. Thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proven them. And David put them off. He took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in the shepherd's bag, which was he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came and on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, it disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest out to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of the host, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give thy carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, unto the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass that when the Philistine arose and came to draw near to meet David, that David hastened, and he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. And he smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, and he stood upon the Philistine, and he took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Tonight, the Lord has shown me in my office today that a lot of you in this place tonight, you have a Philistine, you have a giant of some sort in your life. Maybe it's an emotional wound or a scar that you've been carrying for years. Maybe you were crushed in a bitter divorce. Maybe it's some type of an addiction that has you bound up. Maybe it's a financial crisis. Maybe you have pornography that's controlling your mind and tormenting you. But there is a giant in your life of some sort tonight, and you, like the armies of Israel, you've been cowered down. You've been hiding in the rocks. You've not come out and confronted this giant that is making your life miserable. It's destroying your relationships. It's destroying your home. It's destroying your businesses. It's robbed from you the peace of God. It's taken from you hope. It's stolen from you the joy of the Lord. It's caused you to live in a place of despair and frustration. It's caused you to feel that life is futile. You've gotten to a place that there's such an oppression in your mind that you don't even think right. You don't even reason the way that a Christian should reason. You've allowed circumstances, and you've allowed a giant to come and to intimidate and to cause fear and to cause bad choices, and it's caused you to cower down from standing and being the man or woman of God that you should be in confronting your giant. It's up to you. The devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's come to steal from you the blessings of God. He's come to steal from you the peace of God, the joy of the Lord. He's come to steal from you what God has ordained for you to experience and to walk into. He's come to kill your dreams. He's come to kill you spiritually. And he's come to destroy your life. That's what the devil has come to do. And he's good at it if we allow him to. But if we're a sinner saved by grace, and if we've experienced the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're a child of God, we don't have to take his mess. We don't have to live beneath where God wants us to be. You see, this is the way the Lord sees his children, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new creation in him. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A fresh start at salvation. Now, there are going to be hiccups. There are going to be bumps in the road. There's going to be potholes. We're going to mess up. We're going to miss the Lord. And yes, contrary to some Christians' belief, we're going to sin. I think that's why he put in the scripture that it says, if any man among you says he's not sin, he's a liar. And as you hear me say so many times, often it's not the sins that we commit. It's the sins of omission that become the biggies in our life. It's the things that we know that we should do, clearly stated in God's word, and we have a full understanding of it, but I just don't do it. Had a man over in East Texas call me one time. I'd led him to the Lord, and after about 2 months, he'd been reading the Bible and growing in leaps and bounds, and the Lord really changing his life. And he called me after about 2 months of walking with the Lord, and he said, "Preacher, I ain't reading that Bible no more." I said, "Why?" "Well, I've been reading it long enough to know now, figured it out that the more that I know, the more he expects me to do. So I'm going to quit reading it." Unfortunately, That's the condition of so many people that sit in churches across America. We have a wealth of information and knowledge and knowing what the Word says to do. We're hearers, but not doers. We say, well, I'm not out there committing adultery, and I'm not out there getting high, and I'm not out there doing all of the biggies. But you refuse to forgive somebody. You refuse to extend grace. You want to render evil for evil instead of rendering good for evil. You don't want to overcome evil with good. You want to render evil for evil. Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He spoke ill of me, and the Word says, see, this is how we twist the Word. Word says that do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, and he spoke bad about me, so he must want me to speak bad about him, so I'm going to speak bad about him. That's the way we twist the Word. But I want to talk about this monster that's in your life. He's there because you're allowing him to be there. First thing I'd like to draw your attention to is in verse 29. When David said to his brother, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason for somebody to stand up and to go out and fight this Philistine? Is there not a reason for somebody to man up, to cowboy up, to do whatever it takes to go out here and get up in his grill and tend to business? There's a reason. Now I'd ask you, inventory your own life. What are the reasons that are in your life that are positive, the reasons that you have as to why you should stand against this giant? Is it to save your marriage? To save your business? Is it so that you can become healthier? You fill in the blanks. But I assure you, if you will look and be honest with yourself, there is a really good reason, a good cause as to why you need to say, I'm done with this. I'm laying this down. I'm going there. I'm going to pull my pants up. I'm going to do what the Word says to do. And I'm going to swallow my pride and go say, I'm sorry. Look my wife in the eye and repentantly, with remorse and conviction, be broken. It's not about being right. It's about being restored. It's about being healed. Your marriage is worth it. Your children are worth it. Secondly, we see in verse 37, where he had a confidence about him, where he talked about the lion and the bear. See, what we need to glean from this, if we'll stop and back up and be honest and take a deep breath and begin to remember the things the Lord has already done in our life, the times that we've seen him move and the prayers that we've heard him answer, then our confidence will begin to arise that I can stand against this giant. And in verse 40, we see where courage, as he drew near to the Philistine, one of the famous generals, I forget who it was, I believe it was MacArthur, I read where he said, courage is where you have fear or apprehensions, but you go anyway. You do it anyway. Courage is something that you can muster up. I've seen Glenda do it a lot of times. Be strong in the Lord and very courageous. Don't be fearful, neither be dismayed, but be strong, how? In the Lord. You in and of yourself, me in and of myself, I am no match for the devil. nor are you, but I'm made strong in Christ and in Him, empowered by His Spirit, equipped with His Word. I am a threat to the kingdom of hell, and so are you. I am the destruction. I'm hazardous to the monster and to the giant's health. Fourthly, we see in verse 45, I hope you're getting this. You need a cause. You need confidence. You need courage. And in verse 45, you need faith. Because you see, he said, you come to me, big boy. If you go back in the previous chapter, you find out that Goliath was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. You think Shaquille O'Neal's big? 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Big boy. I just have to shoot him. But he said, you come to me with spear and a sword, but there's that word. But I come to you in the name of the Lord. I want you to know the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and there they are safe. There's something about the name of Jesus that demons tremble at the sound of that name. No other name given among men whereby you must be saved. No other name like Jesus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, blind Bartimaeus cried out. Jesus, oh, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Jesus, the one and only. None before, nor will there ever be another like him. Learn from his example of faith. I need to camp out here for just a second. You've heard me say it, and you're going to hear me say it a lot of more times. There are no shortcuts to faith. You can't pray more faith up. Faith comes one way, the Word of God. That's the only way faith comes. If you need to be a stronger man or woman of God, stronger in your faith, get in the Word. No shortcuts. No instant faith. It comes from hiding the Word in our hearts that we might not sin against Him. It comes from putting the Word of God into us so that in the very hour that we have need, the Holy Spirit will quicken it unto us, and out will come the Word of God. Out will come victory speech. Out will come what needs to be said, prompted by the Holy Spirit to speak to your circumstance, to speak to your adversity, to speak to your giants. The Word of God. We're made overcomers. How? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, which is the Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word endures forever. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. Nothing trumps the Word of God. The greatest preaching, the greatest singing, the greatest financial gifts that you can give. Nothing trumps the Word of God. That's why He watches over His Word to perform it. Not one dot, not one tittle will go unfulfilled. This is a legal contract between Him and you. And He will not break His contract. Now you've got to do your part. You can't just, I don't even know a good example there. You can't just have a microwave quote what you want to quote to try to get what you want to get when you want it. In fact, it's the Spirit of God that worketh in us both to do, to will, and to do His good pleasure. You want me to tell you, when the Word of God has its most effect in your life and in my life, it's when I get to a place that I'm not even asking out of things that are fleshly or selfish desire, but it's when I'm so led by the Spirit of God, I'm so in tune with His voice, and I'm listening to what He says, that I don't ask for anything that I know that He don't even want in my life. But when I know, that's why it says, if we ask anything according to His will, we have what we say. The problem is, we oftentimes don't know what He wants in a situation, and we just want to try to sound super spiritual. So we quote a scripture, and we just say such and such, and it don't happen. And we go, well, I tried it. It don't work. No, what you tried was you tried manipulating God. God can't be manipulated. The key is this: if we align with Him and His vision and His purposes, if we come in alignment, in agreement with His Word, then what we speak in His Word, it's a done deal. It will not fail. Hide the Word in your heart. Thirdly, we see what was His motive. In verse 46, He said at the end of that verse, He said, that all of the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He wanted the victory so that Israel could be free, yes. So that the giant could be defeated, yes. But He wanted it most of all so that the whole earth would know that the God of Israel was alive and well, and He was the true and living God. You see, the Lord wants us to be a witness unto Him, wants us to be a testimony for Him. We want to see God move in our lives, and we want the giants defeated in our life so we can tell others of what God has done in our life. But add to that motive, effort. In verse 49, here's 9'9" Goliath. Said his beam on his spear, well, the handle on his spear was like a beam. I'm almost afraid to quote this because I tried to figure it up real quick. But as I did quick math, according to the weights given, that thing weighed about 150 pounds. Am I wrong, Doc? Some of you scholars, y'all have researched it, but I will verify that. It takes a heck of a man to throw a 150-pound spear. But here he is facing this giant. And he's gone out there with all the other characteristics. And what do we see? It says that David put his hand in his bag and he took out a stone. And he put it in a sling. Killed him. Graveyard dead. Hit him in the only vulnerable spot that he had, right there. I mean, he dead. David goes over there to him, and just as he had told him he was going to do, he goes, well, I told him I was going to cut his head off, but left my knife at home. Don't have a sword. So he takes Goliath's sword, whacks that sucker off, and on over there in about 50-51, he got that head in his hand. And he goes over there to Saul's tent, King Saul's, with that head. And I can just hear his little arrogant self. This is what y'all afraid of? Those things that those giants that you're allowing to intimidate and cause fear and defeat in your life, you don't have to be afraid of that. When you align with the example that David set before, you can go confront that giant in your life and it's going down, and you'll kill it and you'll defeat it if you come in alignment with that. Would you bow your heads? You're here tonight and you say, Dennis, man, I needed to hear that because you don't have any idea the giants that I've got in my life that I'm battling and I'm facing. If that's you and you got a giant in your life, raise your hand. Quick, get it up. All right, put it down. You're here tonight and you say, Dennis, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. But something is in my heart's been pricked and spurred, and I know that I need to make some things right with him. And I'd like to ask him to forgive me of my sins and to come into my life, that I can be a child of God. As you inventory your own life there and you say, Dennis, that's me. If that's you, raise your hand. Get it up. Yes, sir. Anyone else? Quickly, get it up. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Anyone else? Quickly. Thank you, sir. And you, sir. Flip it up right back down. Be fine. Yes. Now, I'll tell you what I want you to do. As quick as I clap my hands, this is different for me, but every one of you that raised your hand for either one of those calls, I want you to get out of your feet and get to these altars as fast as you can. I want to say something to you and I want to pray for you. Get down here. Let's go. Come on, get down here. Get down here. Get down here. Come on down. Coming down to me is a representative of coming to face your giant. Coming to face your giant. Now, for those of you that raised your hand tonight, that you needed to get some things right with the Lord, you need to embrace the work of Calvary, the work that Jesus did on the cross. Let me tell you real quickly what the Word says about how to be saved. It says that if we believe that Jesus is God's Son that came to planet Earth to die a death to pay a price that you and I couldn't, to shed his blood to redeem us as sinful men back to God, to give us the gift of eternal life, that if we believe that and we believe he didn't stay dead, but on the third day he walked out of that grave and he's alive today. He said, if we believe that in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, then we're saved. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now and just repeat after me or pray your own prayer, but include those steps. And let's get some things right with God first, okay? Whether you raised your hand for salvation or not, would you pray for it with us? Let's pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry for my sins. I do believe that you're God's Son that died in my place so that I could live. I believe you walked out of a grave and that you're alive today and that you have the ability and the desire to grant me eternal life. So I ask you now to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me with your blood, to come into my life, and to be my Savior and my Lord. Help me, Jesus, to learn your ways, to be pleasing unto you, and to when I fall, to get back up and run to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now look up here at me for just a moment. Those of you that came down with various kinds of giants in your life, it's important that you talk to the Lord, and it's important that you talk to your giant. And it's important that you do like David, what's in your ability, in your power to do, to defeat that giant, and what you can't do, God will do. See, all he's looking is for an honest, broken spirit. All he's looking is for somebody that's honestly running to him to lean upon him and to ask him for help. So I'm going to pray a general prayer over you, but I want each of you, specifically where you are, to talk to the Lord for yourself and be specific with him. He already knows anyway, but he wants you to ask. So let's bow our heads. And those of you in the audience that are Christians, why don't you stretch your hand toward these and begin to pray for them? There's some giants about to be slain tonight. We're going to hear testimonies come back of what God has done in their life from this night forward. So just begin to pray and talk to the Lord. Lord Jesus, you said that if we would call upon you, that you would show us great and mighty things. And Lord, there's men and women across this front tonight that have come openly and unashamedly to say, there are giants in my life that have intimidated me and caused pain and problems and suffering and loss in my life. And tonight, tonight, Lord, I come to you and I cry out to you to move mightily in my life, to do great and mighty things in my life. Lord, I ask you tonight to help me to defeat this giant, to slay him and to cut his head off where he won't come back anymore. But then, Lord, that I will be free from this night. I'll be free in my spirit, free in my mind, free in my heart, free in my life, free in my relationships, free to serve you, free to dance, free to laugh, free to praise you, free to cry out to you in a super, super way. And God, I ask you now, and by the authority of your word, I bind the strong man. I take authority and dominion over the devil and every imp of hell that has been on an assignment to torment these. I command them in the name of Jesus to get their hands off of these, your children tonight, God. I ask you for miracles to take place. And God, will honor you and give you all the glory and all the praise, as you and you alone are the one to whom victory comes. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. And we give you glory. And let's just give the Lord a hand clap. We're available to any of you at any time to pray with you, to talk with you, to help you. I think they put a bunch of Bibles and stuff down here, some literature. You feel free to help yourself to that, and we'll be around. And just let me just go ahead and pray a dismissal prayer. And don't raise your hand just for the sake of looking good, okay? But how many of you will covenant with me to pray for every person that's standing at these altars tonight? Every day for the next week. If you don't raise your hand, that's okay. But I expect those of you that are making that commitment, because let me tell you what's going to happen. Give me 2 minutes and I'm done. Let me tell you what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit quickened to me and brought back to my remembrance a verse. And you need to know this before you walk away from these altars. That the devil will come immediately to try to steal from you what the Lord has begun in you at these altars tonight. Recognize it when he comes. Don't listen to his lies. He's the father of lies, and in him is no truth. So when he comes to try to bend your ear and begins to tell you things and bring up your past, remind him of his future. You get, I don't know, probably 150 hands went up across this place, including me. We're going to be praying for you. This next week, you stand your ground. You fight the fight. You get in the Word of God. If you need to talk, you call me, Josh, Skeeter, whoever. Call a friend that you know that can urge you and help you through difficult times. Don't be ashamed when you struggle. Don't be ashamed when you fall. But do the right thing when you're struggling and when you fall. Get up. Run to somebody, especially the Lord, but run to somebody that can help you. See, we're not here to judge or condemn you. We're here to encourage you and to help. And know this, the Lord loves you.